Welcome to Managing Myeloma. My name is Dr. Paul Richardson, and today it's my pleasure to review with you the potential sequencing of various treatments in the management of relapsed refractory disease and share with you some thoughts around what may be the right treatment at the right time for the right patient. In this presentation, I'll compare and contrast some of the new and emerging drug classes for the treatment of relapsed refractory myeloma. I'll seek to identify the efficacy and safety of some of these new emerging therapies in the context of treatment in the relapsed refractory setting, and discuss how one might consider a risk-adapted approach to this in patients with relapsed refractory disease. Now, to start off with, here are my disclosures. And now let's move on to the presentation. In terms of the presentation, I want to start by first of all sharing with you that multiple myeloma is truly not just one disease. It's very important to understand that it's a highly heterogeneous illness, not only between patients, but very importantly, during the course of a patient's illness, the disease may change. The so-called clonal tiding and clonal evolution is now well recognized. In this context, this allows us to individualize treatment, and with the advent of novel therapies, we've not only been successful in risk stratifying, but very importantly, having answers to those respective risk groups accordingly. And by that, what I mean is that our novel treatments have, in general, been able to overdrive and overcome some of the classical resistance patterns that we've seen of old, and in fact, improve outcome even for our higher risk patients. However, it's important to recognize that in that context, outcomes for our higher risk patients remain very challenging. Now, how do we set about doing this? Well, the multimodality targeting of myeloma is very, very important to appreciate. And I show this next slide in the context of the new therapies. This is actually from a very nice paper led by my colleague, Dr. Giardi Bianchi, some years ago. And Giardi showed in this particular schematic, I think, very nicely, the variety of drug approaches that we have. Box A incorporates proteasome inhibition. Box B targets, obviously, monoclonal antibodies, and they're great promise. As you move further around the circumference of the diagram, you can see that there are a variety of strategies through the mobilization of cellular immunity or its modification, through to histone deacetylase inhibition, and then across to checkpoint effects, as well as other novel approaches to targeting the immune system. And then around the schematic, obviously, we focus on supportive care strategies, as well as, of course, immune effector cells in the context of the immune milieu. The message here is that there is a multimodal approach to targeting multiple myeloma in the context of its microenvironment, and this provides us with therapeutic opportunity. Now, when we think of this in the context of treatment, it's important to share that the treatment of multiple myeloma is a marathon and truly not a sprint. And so from initial disease treatment to maintenance to relapse, and then the more relapsed refractory patients that can be exquisitely challenging, the long-term view is very important, both for efficacy and toxicity. And in that same spirit, it's important to recognize that there are multiple options now available to treat relapsed refractory disease. And then this lovely paper from my colleague, Dr. Jacob Laubach, seek to summarize on what those are. One critical question is, how do we sequence therapies to ensure best outcome? Going forward with this is the construct that in that same setting, there are key targets to think about. These are genomic abnormalities, the targeting and overcoming of mutations, and the critical role of combination and continuous therapy in doing this. Obviously, we have the dynamic of the evolving position and timing of transplant. And then as we think about novel targets in the myeloma itself, excess protein production remains a fundamental target in this disease. And when we think of immune suppression, and the restoration of anti-myeloma immunity, there's a very wide range of strategies that we can pursue, and I'll come to those in a minute. So in terms of rational combination strategies in myeloma, it's important to recognize the fundamental paradigm of combining a proteasome inhibitor with immunomodulatory treatment as a key therapeutic backbone. There are then a variety of other small molecules and indeed conventional cytotoxics that can be integrated into that treatment paradigm. Of course, now we have third generation immunomodulatory drugs, such as pomalidomide. We also very excitingly have second and third generation proteasome inhibitors, including carfilzomib and ixazomib. And then we have the true paradigm changing effects of monoclonal antibody therapy to bear. Now, when we think about this, there is therefore a complex environment for treatment decisions. And I would argue there are multiple factors to be considered when determining a patient's next therapy. Now, in this next slide, I've sought to help summarize these for you. There are patient-related factors on the left, and these obviously include comorbidities, renal dysfunction, and other important factors, not least of which is lifestyle and geography. Also on the right, we've gone for disease and treatment-related factors to really sort of help you understand how these matter. For example, what is the prior treatment that's been given? How long did the response last? Is the patient refractory on treatment or within, say, 3 to 4 months of a prior treatment? Is the patient refractory to maintenance versus combinations and so forth? Then what's very important, what are the toxicities from prior therapies? What's the tumor burden like? Is it minimal, so it's a biochemical progression, or is it much more aggressive and, say, characterized by extramedullary disease or even plasma cell leukemia, particularly ominous finding? Now, in that same context, to help us understand how disease may behave, we obviously have the benefit of cytogenetics and FISH, as well as the utilization of the advanced revised ISS stage to help us understand what may be a higher risk group. In terms of course, toxicities, pre-existing neuropathy is a relevant consideration, as are other considerations such as cardiovascular risk. So what would be your preferred regimen at relapse? Well, I think according to previous lines of therapy, this would be very important. As the patient had 1, 2, or 3 lines of therapy, this would be critical in defining what you do. Second, if the patient has refractoriness to either a PI, an IMiD, or both, what would one then choose? And finally, is the patient characterized by high-risk cytogenetics? These are, of course, disease-related characteristics. And then in terms of the patient themselves, is the patient older or frailer? And how should this be considered in terms of treatment choices? So with this in mind, there are a number of choices available. I think it's critical in the relapse refractory setting to be aware of combination strategies. We have obviously the combination of carfilzomib plus lenalidomide and dexamethasone. We have carfilzomib plus pomalidomide and dexamethasone. We have ixazomib plus lenalidomide and dexamethasone, and studies ongoing combining ixazomib with pomalidomide that now make this a very attractive option. We have the doublet, of course, of carfilzomib and dex. We have, in the same context, bortezomib, dexamethasone, and panobinostat, which is FDA approved and can be particularly valuable in high-risk disease, including deletion 17 disease. And then as we move forward in the same context of high-risk disease, it's important to note the value of pomalidomide-based approaches, including pomalidomide, dexamethasone, and bortezomib. And as we think about antibodies, these have truly been paradigm-changing, as I alluded to. Daratumumab monotherapy, daratumumab combined with lenalidomide and dexamethasone, daratumumab bortezomib and dexamethasone, daratumumab pomalidomide and dexamethasone, and of course, combinations of daratumumab now with carfilzomib and other approaches are showing great promise. Finally, I want to touch on the role of elotuzumab. Elotuzumab, lenalidomide, and dexamethasone is FDA approved and has shown clinical benefit in the relapsed refractory setting. A particularly exciting recent combination has been that of elotuzumab, pomalidomide, and dexamethasone, where an important progression-free survival benefit has been shown for the three-drug combination of elo, pomalidomide, and dexamethasone when compared to pomalidomide and dexamethasone alone. And so this constitutes an important choice that may be particularly valuable when other strategies have failed. I do also want to mention that there is more to come in the space of immunomodulatory treatment, and very importantly, there are advances now being made with next-generation IMiDs, or so-called cell mods. In particular, there are two molecules under study, 220 and 480, that I've highlighted in red, that are showing considerable promise in current clinical trials. And whilst we await data with great interest, I can't actually report on much there specifically, simply because presentation is pending. But suffice to say, the preclinical data has been particularly encouraging, and certainly early clinical experience has been favorable. Now, let's focus back on the monoclonal antibodies. Obviously, elotuzumab is a true immunoadjuvant by helping with the activation of natural killer cells and also targeting myeloma through the SLAMF7 pathway. Daratumumab is much more pleiotropic in its effects and has multiple effects, both apoptotically and in the context of T-cell effects, as well as ADCC and so forth, that certainly generate a broad spectrum of activity, which explains in part its extraordinary activity as a single agent. However, when combined, it's even more powerful. In that same spirit, there is a next generation CD38 targeting antibody that, as opposed to daratumumab, which is fully humanized, is chimeric. This is isatuximab, an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody that has shown great clinical activity in clinical trials, and in combination is coming forward. It's not yet FDA approved, but certainly phase two data to date has been very encouraging. Now, what about other future directions in the relapsed refractory space? Well, I think it's very important to share these with you because they constitute clinical trial opportunities that could be very important for patients. And I would encourage patients who are candidates for studies to be referred to appropriate centers because these really offer, I think, great promise going forward. Probably one of the most important targets in myeloma now is so-called BCMA. Now, BCMA, of course, is a B-cell maturation antigen by full description and has high affinity for a number of key growth and survival pathways in myeloma biology, and we've sought to summarize them from this excellent review from my mentor, Dr. Ken Anderson, and my laboratory partner, Dr. Yuzu Tai. And Ken and Tai published this a few years ago now, but it's a very nice schematic showing exactly how critical and central BCMA is in the context of myeloma biology. And targeting this with a variety of strategies, including antibody drug conjugates such as 916, has not only shown great promise preclinically, but has also translated into very exciting results clinically. And further studies are currently ongoing. In that same spirit, there are a number of bispecific antibodies currently in development, which also T-cell engage, or are so-called BiTEs. And a number of these are showing great and early promise in clinical trials. Now, in that same spirit, of course, CAR-T therapy has really been a true paradigm changer in relapsed refractory disease. And patients who may be candidates for such approaches and are typically younger and fitter, this may be a particularly valuable approach, and early data have been particularly exciting. The process is summarized on this slide, where essentially autologous T cells are transduced with an engineered vector to encode for the myeloma target. In this regard, these T cells are then reintroduced after cytoreductive therapy with effects thereafter. As I mentioned, BCMA is probably the most important target, and remarkable results have been seen. But there remain a number of questions about how CAR-T therapy may evolve. In that same spirit, there are a number that are under study, and I've shown these in the next slide. And studies of these variety of different modalities are ongoing. And again, very exciting results have been reported to date. I think we will see this approach continue to evolve with potential for great benefit for our patients in the future. So to conclude, I want to really share with you that the impact of novel therapies in relapsed refractory myeloma has been profound. I want to share with you a case that is well known in our world, and certainly at my center, because the patient concerned is very happy for me to share with you her photograph, has been a paradigm for us of the success of monoclonal modern antibody therapy in myeloma. She was originally diagnosed in 2009 with classical high-risk disease, and she carried the most challenging finding, which was 17 deletion positivity at that time. She was otherwise very well, but had comorbidity, including hypertension requiring triple therapy, but was essentially, apart from her high-risk myeloma, a very fit and well person. After initial induction remission treatment, which successfully achieved a very good partial response, she went on to autologous stem cell transplant. She received lenalidomide maintenance back at that time and was not keen to receive parenteral therapy, so bortezomib was deferred, even though she had high-risk features. Unfortunately, her disease returned within a year, and in that context, she was successfully salvaged with the reintroduction of proteasome inhibition, and then with the further introduction of a next-generation IMiD, she did somewhat better the following year. Unfortunately, though, consistent with a 17p deletion, her disease then relapsed aggressively with extramedullary disease. And at the time, we considered carfilzomib-based therapy, but because of her hypertension, which was particularly challenging, we deferred on that option. Instead, she participated in the phase one clinical trial at the time of daratumumab monotherapy. Remarkably, she had a fabulous response to the antibody, entered complete response, and has been for the last 5 years in CR on continuous daratumumab monotherapy, and been enjoying an excellent quality of life, as illustrated by her photograph up in the right-hand corner of this slide. So to conclude, in multiple myeloma treatment, we have multiple options in relapsed refractory disease. We have a number of choices that can be deployed, and I've seeked to summarize not only the approved agents on this slide, but also new and upcoming exciting new directions, including next-generation proteasome inhibitors, next-generation immunomodulators, and then novel targeting drugs such as venetoclax, selinexor, and melflufen, as just three examples. I think all of these have great promise for the future. And most importantly, in this same context, we have other new drugs being developed that refine on existing advances, one example being, of course, HDACs, which include the approved panobinostat to the left, but exciting new drugs such as 241 under development to the right. In that same spirit, melflufen, as one example, is a modified alkylator with a highly targeted approach to its cytotoxicity, which may make it also an exciting new option. Selinexor, which is a selective inhibitor of nuclear export protein, is a remarkably active drug in combination and is moving forward in clinical trial. And venetoclax, targeting BCL2 overexpression in translocation 11-14 patients in particular, appear to benefit from this approach. And these are just examples of what can be on offer to relapsed refractory patients. So in that spirit, I want to close by concluding to say, I hope I will leave you with these key takeaway points, that in terms of relapsed refractory multiple myeloma, we have multiple options with combinations of drugs, at least three or more, becoming a new standard. The emphasis on a proteasome inhibitor being a backbone is key, and recognizing that monoclonal antibodies are truly paradigm changing. In terms of the new and emerging treatments for the treatment of multiple myeloma in the relapsed refractory setting, immune therapy is a key new target. And of course, also the further targeting of protein degradation, as I touched on momentarily before, as well as the emerging role of small molecule inhibitors. And finally, that we can incorporate these approaches in a risk-adapted way for our patients that can guide therapeutic choices, recognizing that in the relapsed refractory setting, patients typically are considered high risk by virtue of the very nature of their position and timeline in the course of the natural history of their disease, as well as key features such as cytogenetic abnormalities, extramedullary disease, peripheralizing plasma cells, renal dysfunction, and so forth. Nonetheless, despite all of these challenges, the outlook for these patients continue to be remarkably improving, as I say, and as illustrated in the previous few slides. So I finally want to thank you very much for your kind attention and gratefully acknowledge the remarkable partnership summarized in this slide that has led to all of these advances. And again, thank you for your kind attention.